Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Talk to you for a moment. I was trying to get some pictures. That's why I was a moment late. But you know, I've been coming here for at least 2 or 3 years, and y'all know our neighborhood. And one of the things that I found surprising is that the other day I went down Finley Drive, went down JoJo, and went the other way. And lo and behold, over in Commissioner May's district, right over on JoJo Road, I look and there's a subdivision just like the one they're going to put behind our house. Right? And I'm going to bring you pictures next time because a picture's worth 1,000 words. Those people did not know what was going to happen. They all have single family homes, large lots. The next thing you know, I mean, you will not believe it when I show you these pictures.
So this is Anita Gaynor. She was speaking at the Escambia County Commission meeting in the, you know, public forum portion, talking about this ongoing clash over the JoJo Finley development. And in case you don't remember, and I understand it's hard to keep track of all of these things, you know, that's my job, not your job. But Finley Drive is this circular community that's got about 30 homes, and then there's an east-west access part that goes out to Jernigan Road. And because it crosses the creek, and this community is kind of like contained between two waterways, almost, and then Johnson Avenue's to the south, and on the north is an undeveloped property. They have two undeveloped lots on the north side of their circle, basically, and there's a developer that wants to build a, you know, significant number of, like, townhomes, and it's been various configurations, but, you know, you're talking, I think the number is somewhere around 50 or 60 units, something like that, to go in back there, maybe 70, something like that, and instead of crossing the water again to go over onto JoJo Drive, which is to the northwest, the idea is that they would use those two empty lots and turn those into a road. So not turning an unopened right-of-way into a road, but turning what people thought were basically just future homes that hadn't been built yet into a road. And the folks who live on Finley Drive have been coming up to Finley Circle, sorry, have been coming up to the county commission now for, it was for Finley Drive, sorry, my eyes. But folks on Finley Drive have been coming to the county commission for, I mean, gosh, over a year now, maybe 2 years now, basically saying, don't let this happen. You will destroy our way of life. You will destroy our peace and quiet. Part of the wrinkle about all this is that this is a District 4, which doesn't currently have a county commissioner since Robert Bender was appointed to the supervisor of elections position. And, you know, it's not that nobody cares, but that, you know, they don't have an elected official to directly represent them who is accountable to them in the election coming up this fall, coming up in September. Meanwhile, what Anita's saying is, you know, if you go down JoJo Road to the west, you pass Jernigan Road and you get this, what's all of a sudden you've got a multifamily development, which, you know, a lot of times these are allowed, but the folks who are dealing with that have now single family homes in a neighborhood that they're accustomed to, and somebody's put up a bunch of apartments, basically, where, you know, a third or a fourth level, and I haven't seen it, so I don't know the height, but, you know, I'm guessing a third or a fourth level, and now they're looking down into these people's backyards. All of a sudden, that's the fishbowl comment. That's the idea that, you know, all of a sudden people are just overlooking your backyard because Escambia County didn't protect the nature of the community.
I mean, and I went up there. I might have gone inside them and looked to see if you could really see in everybody's backyard. And yes, you can see in everybody's backyard. So it's definitely a fishbowl. And I've noticed there's one there. I noticed there's one. Chairman Barry's got one over there by Lowe's like that. And I think that, you know, those have all happened since we've been coming here. And I don't want to sound grumpy, but what do we have to do to get something so that we start not doing that? I mean, we can't look at a development on its own on a piece of paper without going out and looking at what's around it and how it's going to impact people that have been living there their whole life. How's it going to impact them?
What it feels like in Escambia County, and I know it feels this way a lot in Santa Rosa County too, but since this is Escambia County, we'll focus here, is it feels like to a lot of residents, like all of a sudden we've got this development coming in, you know, growth, okay? Generally, growth is good. The problem is that unplanned, unmanaged growth or poorly planned, poorly managed growth winds up making everybody worse off. Because the people who live in communities that expected a certain kind of community to persist, whether that was a reasonable expectation by them or not, is an expectation that people have. And then when all of a sudden you've got property opened up behind them and there's 200 homes behind them in a dead-end street, or when there's, you know, they thought that these were just like vacant lots that would eventually become single-family dwellings, and unfortunately the zoning in the area allows you to have the higher density, and somebody decided to turn those lots into an access way, and they're going to put, you know, a pretty substantial development behind their little circular community. Or somebody's just living in a neighborhood and then all of a sudden there's at least townhome level, second story would be enough to see into your yard, let alone, I don't know if it's a third or a fourth level, look, you know, and you feel like, man, all this time I thought we could just be in the yard and relax. Now I got to have all these strangers peeping down on me. Would it? And that's just a part of the issue. Of course, you also have the other problem of, you know, too much development creating over congestion, making traffic hard, making stormwater a problem, you know. And it feels like, for a lot of folks, like the county has really just kind of failed to do its basic job of planning for growth, of thinking ahead about where these things could happen, and at least of notifying neighbors well enough so that they can participate in the process, or empowering neighbors so that they can have a say in what happens in the land around them that affects their quality of life. Now, on the other hand, okay, well, what some would say is, look, if you have land, you have rights. And if you have zoning and future land use, then you have entitlement to develop it according to that, as long as you don't violate certain rules. And there's truth in that. If you're a property owner, you're supposed to have expectations of what you can do. But once you get yourself in the position of the person who owns the property developing the land and being able to do it in such an upsetting and disturbing and offensive way to the rest of the neighbors, what I think a lot of the critics would say is, you've already screwed up. You know? Now, it's not necessarily that Lumen May and Stephen Barry and Jeff Bergosh screwed up, but they're the ones who are in office. And, you know, Mike Kohler, he's newer in office, not up for re-election this year. You know, and then you got a District 4, you know, that's an open seat. It's not so much that they caused all the problems, but maybe boards before them contributed to failing to plan ahead for these problems. And then these folks have been in office, you know, Jeff Bergosh has been in office 8 years, and Stephen Barry and Lumen May have been in office for 12 years, looking to make it 16. And at some point you say, well, you know, I don't know that you can blame the people before you when you've been around for that long. You know, Santa Rosa County, they're all kind of relatively new. It's easier for them to cast blame on prior boards. These folks, they've been here through it. And, you know, were they not proactive enough? Did they not plan ahead enough? Did they not react to the development as it was coming enough? Or, as is the, you know, there's sort of the light criticism, which is that they did not plan enough or plan properly or didn't do a good enough job of thinking about these problems in advance. The less charitable version is they knew these were going to be conflict points, and they are responsive to people who are building these things that are, you know, major donors to their campaigns, and they don't care about the inconvenience to the citizens, and, you know, are only caring when it's an obvious flashpoint and they've got to come and do something, like the parking problem on University Drive at UWF. And, you know, in an election year, we're trying to make a show of doing some of these things but not doing a great job of it. You pick how you interpret it. You can interpret this as, hey, these residents are just going to have to suck it up because that's the nature of living in a place that has rules and other people have property they can use the way they want. Tough for you. You can take the view that the county commissioners have really failed to do a good enough job of planning for the future. Or you might take the view that they knew full well what was going to happen and they just decided not to do anything to stop it. You could also take the view that they didn't have any power to stop it. You know, the rules are the rules, which, I mean, they make the rules so they could change the rules, but you got to be careful about changing the rules because you open yourself up to a lawsuit then, too. But ain't nobody happy. You know, and ultimately, the reason we have governments is to avoid these kind of unhappinesses, these sorts of interpersonal conflicts that, you know, without a government in place, if you're living in a single level ranch home and somebody comes next to you and tries to build an apartment complex, in the state of nature, you know, politically speaking, that's when there's no rules. You know, maybe you get into a fight with them. Maybe you beat them up. Maybe, you know, they hire their friends to fight you and you hire your friends to fight them and you have maybe people die. I mean, that's what happens when you don't have governments. Governments are there to prevent that from happening, to solve things by talking in votes. But if you keep solving things by talking in votes, by not solving things on behalf of the existing residents, then there could be political consequences for that. So back to this conversation about Finley Drive and JoJo Jean Brown.
Now, on March 28th, 2024, staff completed its review of plans for a new proposed JoJo Road Villas development, which would be located adjacent to my home. There are 81 lots located on approximately half of a 22-acre parcel of land. Over half of them would be townhomes. This is on a dead-end street with 36 residences, each lot being from 1/2 acre to 6 acres. As of now, the new plan has not advanced. Thank goodness. We are patiently waiting and hoping that it does not advance. This is like shadow boxing. We do not know what to fight.
And they shouldn't have to be in that position. The reason you have elected officials and county administration is so that you don't have to be always worried to have to fight for your way of life, to keep protecting it. You know, because if you have to keep fighting and fighting and fighting and showing up and talking, you start to wonder, well, why do we bother having the government at all? I mean, I can just fight with my neighbors without y'all getting in the way. You know, right? That's kind of the idea. It's like, why should we have to live our lives in dread over what the next plan that's going to work its way through some process and eventually get to the place where we don't even have any power to stop it anymore? That's no way to live. And I can understand the anxiety that they're living with.
What can we do while we wait? This certainly leads to worry and dread. We neighbors simply want to peacefully enjoy our homes. We think about concurrency. Finley Drive would have to be constructed to county standards. The street currently is not. There has already been a townhome development on JoJo Road at Chisholm in District 3. The Collector Street or thoroughfare Jernigan Road is less adequate every day.
And that's something that has been coming up, you know. Up for re-election, Commissioner Bragash has been talking about concurrency. And since he started really talking about it, it's been 85 days and 6 meetings and nothing has been filed. Not yet. Okay, so we are on concurrency watch for that. But even there, concurrency would just make it so that Finley could handle the traffic, and they'd really prefer to not have to have all that extra traffic from 80 homes running through their circle drive, right?
You cannot run the county on emotions, I realize, but you cannot completely ignore them. We love our neighborhood. The existing neighborhoods deserve consideration. The new developments are not the only ones with rights. Our comprehensive plan and land development code must respect the rights of existing neighborhoods. Remember Finley JoJo.
There's got to be some consideration for both, and the existing residents frequently feel like they get no consideration whatsoever in this process, which I think is a reasonable concern to have. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
The thing is, Bob, it's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime. Played it till my fingers bled. Was the summer of 69.
You know, not to enter into a psychological discourse on how to be successful in life or anything, but even though that's a funny clip, you know, when Peter's talking to the Bobs in Office Space and says it's, you know, it's not that I'm lazy, it's that I just don't care. There is a really useful psychological truth underneath that, which is that people who do care will not be lazy, generally speaking. So if you can put people in occupations or endeavors where they care about the outcome and find it engaging and stimulating, they will do a good job. They will not do the work. On the flip side, if you get people into doing things that they don't care about and don't enjoy, what do you get? The opposite, unless they are extraordinarily virtuous and will work against their own level of disinterest in order to produce a great result, which is you're counting an awful lot from the human being if that's what you're hoping is going to turn out to be the case. 526 here on News Radio Pensacola. I should say one other quick thing about this whole issue of, you know, development and failure to plan and the inconveniences being caused to existing homeowners. There is also an important point that, you know, the building community employs a lot of people. Builders have, you know, an occupation that performs a great service, and new people need to live somewhere too. You know, there are balancing interests here. The problem is that these residents often feel like the only voice that matters is the, you know, the well-informed, know the rules, and can afford the attorneys and things to play within the rules to get what they want, or use the political process and contributions to get what they want. And they feel like, you know, nobody's representing them against that force, okay? And, of course, you know, developers who are good people. I live in a house built by a developer. We work in a building built by a developer, okay? But the developers have all of the power in the political situation on their side to get what they want, and there's nobody really standing up for the homeowners and protecting them from that power. That's the feeling. That's the concern. It's not that the developers and the you know, the owners of the properties and the people who want to live in those new places don't have an interest in the political scenario. It's that it's often feels like they're the only ones who have any political sway in the current system. 528 on News Radio Pensacola. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. As many as 100 pro-Palestinian protesters took over a building at California State University in Los Angeles yesterday. As of late last night, several employees were also reported to be trapped inside of this building as protesters had blocked the entrances and exits with makeshift barricades. The action prompted the school to order a shelter in place. The White House apparently has not ruled out whether President Biden would commute his son Hunter's sentence. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday declined to comment on that, although she did point to previous comments the president made that he would not pardon his son. And transgender swimmer Leah Thomas will not be able to compete in the Olympics. The 25-year-old had asked the Court of Arbitration for Sport to overturn a ban on trans women competing to qualify for the Games, but a panel of judges has dismissed that request.
Yeah, this is another case where, David, thanks so much for the update. This whole issue of what to do with transgender people, what to do with people who have body dysmorphia. We talked about this a bit yesterday, of course, with the ruling by Judge Hinkle that the Florida state law prohibiting transgender therapies, treatments, surgeries for minors was not constitutional. That will go to appeal. And as Governor DeSantis said yesterday, Alabama has won on theirs. So it's kind of surprising and certainly is going to get settled at a higher court. The problem in sports is that some people who believe that women should have a protected zone around their sporting endeavors and other people who believe that transgender, born male, identify as female, women are women in every sense that matters and ought to be put into female sports because they are women. And how do you solve that problem? Well, this is a political problem, right? Also, you have the idea that people believe in there being two genders. People who tend to believe in two genders tend to believe in traditional sexual morality and feel like they're in an ongoing political struggle against people who don't believe in traditional sexual morality or believe in a multitude of genders or don't believe in maybe the restrictions upon sexual behavior outside of marriage or the nature of marriage and all that. And so you have this kind of, we want to shape our culture according to the interests of what we believe versus we want to shape our culture according to the interests of what we believe. And as is, I think, obvious if you're paying attention, but people don't say it so much, is it's really not possible to configure the society according to both views equally. Somebody's going to have to win that conflict.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Second time in less than a week, the president on the European continent.
When President Biden meets with the leaders of the world's seven largest economies in Italy today, it's not likely there will be a call to defeat Russia. Here is what's on the agenda. Ceasefire talks, Russia's war in Ukraine, of course, trade imbalances with China, AI threats, and developmental issues in Africa.
Fox's Lucy Thomason reporting. Nearly all Republicans in the House slap a contempt of Congress citation on U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland. He turned down a request to hand over audio tapes of President Biden's interview with the special counsel Robert Hur over his classified documents case. Only one Republican, Representative Dave Joyce of Ohio, voted against it. Massive amounts of rain battering South Florida. Flash flood emergency issued from Miami-Dade and Broward counties. Governor Ron DeSantis declaring a state of emergency. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio Pensacola. Right now, 72 degrees. Partly cloudy skies this morning. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons says the community is a whole lot safer after two more drug houses were raided yesterday. In a video posted to their Facebook page, Simmons announced that about 3 kilos of fentanyl and 5 kilos of meth were discovered at homes on Teakwood Circle and 50th Avenue.
This is just one piece of what our narcotics unit does on a daily basis. But if you ask, what we're doing and how many lives we're saving, I can typically tell you every day that we save lives, but I can certainly tell you today we saved a lot of lives today.
Sheriff Simmons says they recovered about $60,000 worth of cash, jewelry, sports memorabilia, and shoes, and identified one suspect, LaMarcus Brown, who's now charged with trafficking in fentanyl and in meth. Well, another year, big donation made to the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer.
Tonight, we are donating over $25,000 back to the American Cancer Society in any way that they choose to use it.
That is Tate's softball coach, Melinda Wyatt, after their 14th annual strikeout cancer game. And to date, Wyatt says the school's raised over $200,000 in the fight against breast cancer. Well, the new state budget has now been signed by Governor DeSantis, who says he trimmed out about $1 billion through line item vetoes.
A little less than what we did last year because I thought it was important. And I told the speaker, we want to hold the line.
The spending plan came in at about $116.5 billion, according to the Tallahassee Democrat. The largest construction project that was vetoed was $26.2 million towards UWF's new science and engineering building. The city of Pensacola says $14.2 million for the old Baptist Hospital campus, airport terminal expansion, and Bay Bluffs Park all survived the veto pen this year. Governor DeSantis says Florida will be appealing a Tallahassee federal judge's ruling blocking a lawsuit that bans gender-affirming care for minors and restricts treatment for adults.
They upheld Alabama's law, which was almost identical to Florida's law. This will be reversed. There's no question it'll be reversed.
DeSantis says spending tax money on defending the law is justified because doing otherwise would allow judges to veto Florida law. And weather today in South Florida disrupting plans to tear down the scene of a deadly school shooting. The 1200 building at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland was supposed to be demolished today, but that's now on hold due to heavy rainfall. Tony Montalto, who lost his 14-year-old daughter Gina in the shooting, says it's a conflicting time right now for families.
My son does not want the building to come down. He feels that people will forget about the tragedy. My wife said she's grown a little bit attached to the building.
The three-story building where 17 people died served as evidence in the gunman's trial. There's no word yet on what the building would be replaced with. It is 5:35 at News Radio Pensacola. Right now we have 72 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Netflix is preparing for a showdown on Labor Day. The company has announced that it will live stream a hot dog eating competition with rival champions Joey Jaws Chestnut and Takeru Kobayashi in an event titled Chestnut vs. Kobayashi Unfinished Beef. Chestnut recently made headlines by getting disqualified from this year's Nathan's famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest due to his partnership with a rival veggie hot dog company. Shares of Chinese electric vehicle makers have surged after the European Union announced higher tariffs of up to 38% on Chinese EVs a day earlier. BYD was the top gainer, jumping 8% during yesterday's morning trading session. Geely was up about 4%, while NIO and Li saw their shares climb 1.5%. One analyst from Morningstar pointed out that the additional duties were modest in comparison to the U.S. implementing 100% tariffs on Chinese EVs last month. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of Pensacola State College students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the summer and fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there.
Culver's could have only started in Wisconsin. Enjoy goodness from America's Dairyland, like the real Wisconsin cheese on their juicy butter burgers, the farm fresh dairy in their fresh frozen custard, made fresh daily at each restaurant, or try their lemon ice back for the summer with your favorite fruit added in. Visit Culver's today. Mobile Highway at Softly Field, Bayou Boulevard at Cordova, and Highway 90 in Milton. Third-party delivery now available through DoorDash and Uber Eats. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then, get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Hurry, through all my specs, thought my vision was blurry. I looked again.
Good morning, 5:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday we talked to Mayor D.C. Reeves. And, you know, one of the things that the mayor had made a mention of in his press conference was that the photo we had posted up on social media that it's been sent to me by a traveler on Monday from the line at Pensacola International Airport, you know, showing the long line. And that had blown up on social media, like 200 shares or something. And he had made the comment. He said, you know, true, but also, you know, if you posted photos, you know, of every day since or before that for the last 31 days, that would be the only one that looked like that. Most of them would look like, you know, normal, which is a fair criticism. I mean, it's a fair response to that. And I actually agree that a lot of times our industry news emphasizes the exception, the rare, the weird, the standout, and doesn't give enough context to the overall general truth. So I actually agree with that. It doesn't mean that the bad thing that did happen isn't true, but you should do a good job of contextualizing these things. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And so my answer is I totally agree with you. The one picture does not show a whole story. The pictures of every day and how a half hour later it was cleared up, I completely agree with you. My industry makes the mistake of showing you the exception instead of showing you the general truth, and I think it's a completely fair criticism. So I'll take it, and I'll take it.
Well, you know, as back in the day, it used to be my industry too, and so
right.
I understand that. And of course, in no way is it rationalized. I think we're showing, you know, I think that it was time to take a stand because it was becoming such that what the photo you showed was becoming too consistent of an issue.
Yeah.
In previous months. But what I will say is since we've sent that letter, I believe the maximum wait yesterday was 51 minutes. If you've analyzed, which they do with TSA, every single hour since basically the end of April, the longest wait, including during Memorial Day weekend and even more of a peak season than spring, was about 23 or 25 minutes. So it's, you know, that's kind of the point I'm making, is to say, hey, you know, we've made significant strides. But of course, and what do, you know, citizens and social media do? Here's the one example,
that's right.
You know, the one out of hundreds of hours since we've gotten things corrected that didn't go the way it planned. But that's why I said, hey, it's part of the gig. You know, I get it, whether it's parking, whether it's this, whether it's something like that, it's things that cause people anxiety, and I understand. You know, we all want it to be perfect all the time, and nobody more than me and Matt at the airport, I can guarantee.
And, you know, I know it doesn't make people necessarily feel better, but one of the things that I had minor epiphany about, I was thinking about this, is as long as you don't miss your flight, then waiting at TSA right. is a nuisance, not a problem. Now, you even mentioned that you have missed flights or people have missed flights, and so that is a real problem. But I think of it in the same context as, like, flooding in your home. If the flooding gets into your lawn, you know, and on your driveway, that's a nuisance. That's inconvenient. When the flooding gets into your
right.
house,
right.
it's a real problem. And, I mean, if you have to wait an extra 20 minutes at the TSA line, you're fuming and you're angry. But if you think about it, you're either going to wait there or wait for the plane. It doesn't really make right. that big of a difference, right? But if you miss the flight, then
exactly.
it does make a
yeah.
big difference. How often does that happen?
Yeah, and again, I mean, TSA is required. So this isn't, you know, DC's guess or the airport's guess is required to measure how long these. And so just for example, remember from my letter, we were on the wait list four times in the first, whatever that was, 3.5 months of the year, on a much slower part of the year mm-hmm. Than right now. And since we sent that letter, we've been on once, which was yesterday for that hour. So,
yeah.
So we're making good strides. They continue to be, TSA continues to be proactive. So what I would tell you is if you were to analyze the hour by hour wait, which again, at worst has been in the 25 minute range. And if you're following TSA guidelines and you're there 2 hours early, and I know some of us aren't, I admit I'm not always there 2 hours early. But if you are, even 51 minutes yesterday would have been a non-issue. So to your point, you know, and so when you get over an hour where we had had that before in previous iterations a couple times, obviously now you're starting to talk about having the expectation to catch a flight and not being able to do it because the line was too long. So,
right.
So again, bottom line is we're making progress on it. You know, obviously we had a difficult day yesterday with two machines going down. And, you know, actually, as a matter of fact, we even learned this morning to show you how finicky these things are that may not have anything to do with the mayor or the airport is – I think we had a machine go down temporarily this morning because a crew member spilled coffee in the machine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that those are the challenges of which we deal with every day, and that's why I appreciate our airport staff doing the best job that they can.
Yeah, and when you get an error code on the machine, I was talking to Matt Coughlin about this, the airport director, when you get an error code on the machine, I mean, you got to go through a whole series of steps and checks and make sure the machine's working right because you can't just use it when it's not right. And then if you got to have repair people come and take care of it or reboot or whatever, I mean, there's processes. And so if you get unlucky, even if you've got the personnel, like you had the personnel on Monday, but then the machines are suddenly weird. Oh, great.
Right.
You know, so anyway, I wanted to answer your kind of prod about the, you know, the whole truth rather than just some of the truth. And also that whole perspective shift that I had a little bit about, you know, it's only a nuisance if you still make the plane. It's just stress, and nobody likes that. Yesterday, sure. Big positive day for Pensacola, the ribbon cutting for the new IHMC facility. We've been talking about that. I was making the point that I think this is an indicator of the overall improvement and renaissance of downtown Pensacola, that it is now becoming, for many years now, it has been becoming, but it really is a place that people want to, you know, live, work, and play. You added walk into that yesterday. I caught that. I thought that was cute. But I did get a challenge from a listener on this subject. The person texted me the following, and I want to hear what you have to say about this. With the coffee shops and the bars and the restaurants and the culture and the nightlife and the baseball, I mean, there's a lot of stuff downtown. But this person says, the problem with Pensacola right now is haven't pursued an urban grocery store like a Walmart or a Whole Foods to be located downtown. Other communities tend to have this. We also don't have the consistent high-end shopping like Macy's, Nordstrom, which will appeal to the higher income, you know, like revamping the mall. It says even Birmingham has better retail. Ask the mayor why the city has not tried to get a Whole Foods or a Trader Joe's or even an IKEA. Cities that do this kind of stuff attract more money, tax money, and better. You know, IKEA might be a little out of our size range, but you get the gist of the question. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll do this quickly for radio form. But ultimately, don't presume that we aren't, is what I would say, first of all. Just because we're having those conversations doesn't mean I come to the press conference and talk about them, because I don't want to get hopes up, and there's a lot of variable factors. Here's the great news.
Can I interrupt you? I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, from Florida West, a lot of times we get the, here's what could happen, and then, you know, one out of 40 deals pans out. I kind of like that, actually, that you don't come through with the, hey, we're working on something, and so we don't get our hopes. And go ahead, though. Finish your answer.
Other than my first April Fool's joke my first year, you're never going to hear me talk about Trader Joe's unless I really feel like it's coming here. That's
I got
my
you.
Point. So, let's talk about, chains in a general sense, whether that's a Warby Parker like Sunglass Store or a Trader Joe's, or what you start to see in Charleston and Savannah and these other, that's what I'm kind of encapsulating that is being referred to here. Number one, don't assume that we aren't having or others. I mean, third parties, private, you know, commercial real estate owners aren't having those conversations, because we know that they are. I cannot not speak to certain brands, but I can say that there's been a change in the last 12 months or so where we start to be on allowed lists, right? I mean, you have to meet certain metrics. I mean, Whole Foods doesn't just pick a place because the mayor met with them. They're going to run numbers the same way Delta runs numbers at our airport. I mean, it's a numbers game. Well, now we're starting to actually get into the threshold where they would consider us.
Okay.
Where that wasn't the case necessarily a couple years ago. So to answer that question, yeah, of course. I mean, we are as proactive as possible. It's something me and Erica and our economic development department are working on. We've had several conversations about that. And, you know, and it's also different areas of town. I mean, listen, you know, the Beulah area up in the Davis I-10 area, depending on what kind of chain it is, that might be more desirable than downtown.
Sure.
And then a different chain would be much more desirable downtown than out there. So there's lots of different factors at play. But what I can safely generalize is that we are now on lists that we used to not be on.
Wow,
you know,
and
that conversation's about larger. But really, what it's going to take, it's going to take the first one of those kind of national brands that's being mentioned to kind of take that chance, you know, downtown. Because once that happens, and you see it in every city and the evolution of every downtown, then the others are saying, oh, well, if they made it, we can make it. You know, so, you know, that's what we're really trying to be proactive about, is getting that, whether it's a grocery store, whether it's just national retail, you know, kind of see what that looks like. So,
okay. Well, that's a very encouraging answer.
Come pick those out, but yeah, we want to get them. It's our job to try to, you know, have the red phone and make sure that, you know, that we're an investable city. So we continue to have those conversations.
The red phone. I like that. I just got a text in. We're talking to DC Reeves. I just got a text in. Somebody asks, any update on the possibility of a post office deal working out downtown? I assume that following your previous comment, if you had news to tell, you'd tell it.
There's no new news. However, I'm in the same position my last update, which is that I've had a conversation with them and that there is a downtown alternate location that is in progress right now. That's
okay.
What I can say.
Okay.
I can't, but what I'm saying is the dream of continuing to have a downtown post office alive? Yes, at this point.
Okay. I also had a text in a little earlier, and it's just because this is the stuff people really care about. I thought the lights were on. I guess the lights on the bridge have been maybe not on every night. Maybe you know, and do you know any whys?
No. Again, it was back to testing, to be honest. That's why right after when we talked last time,
yeah.
He had said, it might be on, might be off. But I know their goal was to get before the week of the 4th of July.
Okay.
I know that was what they were kind of shooting for. So we may not see consistency until then, but
gotcha.
But I know we're making progress.
Kareth Fiddler suddenly is no longer soon to be no longer the city administrator. Mentioned family stuff. This surprised me. Was there a problem? Is it just his personal? You tell me. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I mean, he reached out to me late last week, and again, obviously, I'm not going to get into his, what's going on.
Sure.
That's his story to tell or his news to share or not share. That's, and we don't get into personnel stuff anyway. But regardless, I'm very appreciative of having Kareth there. Family comes first for all of us, and it should. It comes first for me. It comes first for Kareth. And so, at the end of the day, I appreciate having him here 5 years with the city, which is a long time, honestly, within the city administration level at one place. Having him in that position while I was getting acclimated and his familiarity and, the respect that he had with department directors was very, very valuable for me. So I'll always be grateful for that. So I certainly wish him the best and his family the best. And we support him well after his, last day in July.
And you're going to do a national search is what you said?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah, we will do a national search. We're obviously just starting that process now and getting job description and all that kind of stuff. And so we'll be very intentional and proactive because obviously it's such a – it's one of the most vital positions at the city, if not the most.
Yeah, and the kind of position that, if you don't really know who Kareth Fiddler is, it means he's probably doing his job right. you notice when the sound and the lights are wrong because they're not doing their job right, and if you don't notice, they're probably doing their job just right. Any consideration given to, Amy has been around and knows all kinds of stuff, but that's not a track that you're expecting or planning on necessarily. I mean, I'm sure she's welcome to apply, but
Amy does a great job for us. We got a lot of, there might be others that internally that could apply and would certainly be qualified to do so. Too early to say on that, but I will say this job being so vital, this being the first time I have made this hire. Certainly I want to understand, what's out there. And I think it takes a level of self-awareness. It's me analyzing myself. What are my strengths and what are my weaknesses? This is really much a yin yang kind of relationship with the city administrator. I want to make sure that as we sit down and take a breath and say, how are we going to move forward? That this person, he or she would be able to, accentuate and help me in places where maybe I'm not as strong and then vice
sure.
versa. So we're even doing a little self-analysis, about what do we want to see out of the next, what skill set, what experience do we want to see from the next person?
And by the way, I did the thing that I always used to make fun of Grover for doing. I said Amy, but I meant Amy Miller, the assistant city administrator. So, I didn't give everybody the context of who we're talking about here.
We
always
have 50 Amy's.
Yeah, no, that's
in
true.
Our office, so yeah, that's a safe guess.
Amy Lavoie, Amy Tootle. We didn't even get a chance to really talk about the low barrier shelter, but the 10-second answer on this is: you got the information you wanted to get. You know what the reasonable price and the reasonable ongoing cost is going to be. And now it's a question of actually finding the money and the commitment and sourcing it and talking to the people who are going to put in, because it's not as easy as, well, let's just build one. Is that fair?
That's correct. We have $1.3 million of static money, one-time money, And what we've just been told is 60 beds would be about $2 million a year. So this is not going to be solved by just the static money. It's going to be a greater community conversation.
And that's not even, as you said yesterday, not even counting the capital cost of acquiring or constructing a facility. That's just operation. Very good. We always like to end with the lightning round. Fun topics, our frivolous topics typically. Do you have a favorite game show growing up?
I liked Press Your Luck.
No whammies. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. That's a good one. Is there something you had in high school, which, you know, was not that long ago for you, but is there something you had in high school that you no longer have that you miss, that you wish you had?
I actually loved the Nextel walkie-talkie aspect. I actually think maybe there'd be like a renaissance for that.
The bloop bloop?
Yeah.
The bloop bloop?
I mean, that was hot when I was in high school. You know, that was, if you had that capability.
That was the good stuff.
You couldn't text or anything, you know, or take photos, but you could... I don't know, man. I'd like to have that back. It'd be kind of fun.
I've often wondered, you have a beeper now on your phone, essentially, but there was something nice about the beeper in the sense that, you know, you couldn't have to get back right away and all that. You know, some of those old technologies actually had value in a way of separating us. And the last one for the day, what is your way of cooking corn on the cob, if you do, and what's your way of eating corn on the cob, typewriter style or rotating rings that go down the cob?
I prefer to grill it. I mean, you know, boiling sometimes for necessity, but I'm a religious typewriter corn on the cob eater. It's got to be in order, structured. Yep, exactly. The same way I spread peanut butter across the entire piece of bread.
Gotcha.
Corn is no exception.
Very good. There's people who eat corn on the cob typewriter style, and then there's agents of chaos. I mean, that's all there is. There's two kinds of people in the world. So
I'm generally concerned at a picnic if I see someone just biting all over the entire cob.
I
should be concerned.
We did this the other day, and we got a couple of people who suggested that they eat it in splotches. And I'm like, I can't even. That Matt's giving me the shudders to think about.
I was going to say, I'm uncomfortable right now. You just described that. I don't know why.
D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. So we look forward to city council meeting tomorrow night. As always, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Always. 556 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pensacola Scenic 90 Cafe has been shining bright with some of the best Southern-style home-cooked food around for 25 years. And to celebrate their big anniversary this June, you get the gifts with 25% off lunch and dinner entrees all June long. That shrimp and crawfish Savannah? Yes, perfectly cooked ribeye, 25% off. It's happening through June at the Diner's Home at 701 Scenic Highway in East Pensacola Heights. For more information on Scenic 90, visit them at scenic90cafe.com.
Join Tim Ireland from Forrest Jordan & Associates, the Generator Guys, today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tim will be sharing his expertise on home generators and what's involved in getting one for your home. Information on why you would need one, system costs, and what a home generator can do for your home, and answer questions on how they work.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
This Father's Day, celebrate the legacy of shooting sports and essential survival skills passed down through generations. At Jim's Firearms, they're proud to support dads who teach their kids not just how to aim, but also how to respect and enjoy the great outdoors. From expert advice to top quality gear, Jim's Firearms has everything you need to make this Father's Day unforgettable. Jim's Firearms, where tradition begins and legacy lives on. Find Jim's Firearms at the corner of Sorrento Road and Blue Angel Parkway, at the back gate of NAS, and also online at jimsfirearms.net.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin. It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Just a little more time is all we're asking for.
Oh, by the way, I went looking, and I think I might have found it. I'm not sure if I found the right one here, but let's see if this is right. Is that it? We're in the 90s all of a sudden. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hold on, I got to dial up and load my script. Elon Musk and SpaceX have been hit with a sexual harassment lawsuit. 8 former employees filed a lawsuit Wednesday alleging they were illegally fired for raising concerns about discrimination and harassment against women at SpaceX. And the weather disrupting plans to tear down the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas School in Broward County today. They were scheduled to tear that down, but severe flooding from all the rain. So that's been rescheduled until tomorrow.
All right. Also in the military, we have a House-Senate discrepancy over what level pay raise to give. The House wants to give 19.5%. The Senate wants to give 5.5%.
Stream us at News Radio 9.